Hello and welcome to the Beer Business Finance Podcast, where we combine beer with finance to help you create delicious profits in your beer business. I'm your host, Kerry Shumway. I'm a certified public accountant, a former CFO for a beer distributor, and I love numbers. This podcast will provide you with useful financial guidance that you can implement right away in your beer business to make more money. In addition to this podcast, please visit beerbusinessfinance.com. Here you'll find free tools and resources, information on upcoming courses, and you can sign up to receive the weekly Beer Business Finance newsletter for free. Each week, we cover a specific financial topic to help you improve the financial results in your beer business. Let's get started. Hello and welcome to the Beer Business Finance Podcast. My name is Kerry Shumway and I'll be your host. Today we're going to talk about one of my favorite subjects, and that is gross profit. We're going to do a deep dive into what gross profit is, why it's important, and how your managers can improve this critical number in your beer business. So we'll get into the calculations. You know, how do you actually calculate gross profit, right? Some fundamentals. Talk about items that are included, items that are excluded from the gross profit calculation. We get this question a lot. You know, should this be in cost of goods sold or should it be excluded? So we'll go through those. We'll talk about some practical uses of this gross profit knowledge. How can we use this knowledge, this financial literacy, this understanding of the numbers of our beer business, how can we use this to really improve financial results? So we'll talk about how we can use it as a decision-making tool. Next, we'll look at some common errors in gross profit and how to identify these and correct them so you're getting good, accurate financial reporting. We'll look at how to reconcile this gross profit to the income statement, some monthly routines that you can use just to make sure everything is tying out properly. And lastly, we'll talk about planning and monitoring your gross profit results and how to combine your sales plan, your gross profit plan, and create some monthly reports off of those. So we'll begin with gross profit fundamentals. So if we look at our income statement, you know, we've got five major categories. We have sales, cost of goods sold, our gross profit, operating expenses, and then the bottom line, our net income. So those are really the five items. So sales is first on the income statement, followed by our cost of goods sold, and then by our gross profit. So sales minus cost of goods is our gross profit. That's just how the math works there. And sales we're typically going to present as net sales. Net sales being, we'll start with gross sales, subtract any returns, and we get to our net sales. So the classification of those returns will affect gross profit percentage depending on how the math works there. So really the takeaway here is just to be consistent with how returns are treated so that that gross profit percentage can be comparable from period to period. Again, I like to include returns in my gross profit calculation. In other words, I like to show net sales in order to come up with our gross profit percentage. So cost of goods sold, what's included in this number? So we have the obvious items, the cost of the product, the FOB. So that's the invoice cost of what we're buying, the beer. Next is the freight, shipping, third-party carrier invoice, or the charge from the supplier, how we're getting it there. Any taxes, statutory beer taxes from state agencies, and redemption fees, any bottle deposits if you're in a bottle deposit state, and those handling charges. So your route accounting system is going to have a product master for every SKU in your portfolio. And a typical product cost would include these categories. We're going to have FOB, so that invoice cost. We're going to have freight. We're going to have taxes. We may have that handling or redemption fee. We may have a duty. So each of these items is going to have a dollar amount assigned to it, and that's going to add up to our cost of goods sold for a given product. And then that's going to be used to then cost out our inventory. So there's different ways to cost your inventory. There's standard costing. That's where we have a predetermined amount for each product. So we'll We know what we're being charged from the supplier. We put that into the product master, and that just is the standard cost. It's the expected cost. So our invoice cost for the product may not change very often. Maybe once a year we'll get an updated cost from the supplier. Freight may fluctuate depending on what the arrangement is there. If we're seeing some fluctuation in those freight costs, taxes should be pretty consistent. But standard costing is one way to cost our product. The other way is to use a weighted average cost, which takes the actual costs and spreads it across all the products in a predetermined manner. And this is usually helpful for your freight costs. You may see some fluctuation. You may receive loads that are consolidated, different brands coming from different suppliers. How do you allocate those freight costs? And that's where weighted average costs can be very helpful. So for something like that, you'll want to look to your route accounting system and just ask the question, what kind of costing system are we using? Is it standard cost? Is it weighted average cost? So that we can understand that. So that when we're looking at our gross profit, if we're seeing some fluctuations, we'll have the understanding of what the cost system is and whether the cost system might be contributing to some gross profit fluctuation. So what's not included in cost of goods sold? Things like sales, marketing, obviously delivery, warehouse, admin, all of these are going to fall into the operating expense category. I've seen different wholesalers include or exclude different items, maybe a marketing fee that's specific to a brand that is tied to sales volume, things like that. Perhaps I have not included those. I would put those in operating expenses, but I have seen those included. And again, there's not necessarily a right or a wrong there. It's really just consistency, how you're going to account for that expense, for example. And if you decide you want to include it in your cost of goods sold, then just be consistent with that. So month over month, year over year, you're looking at comparable data. So again, you can see what the trends look like in gross profit without artificially creating some variances in there. So again, sales minus your cost of goods sold equals your gross profit. And then you take your gross profit, those dollars, and you divide it by your sales dollars, and that's going to give you a gross profit percentage. So gross profit divided by sales equals your gross profit percentage. And using that percentage is a useful way I've found to communicate our gross profit goals and results. It's a lot easier to say our gross profit goal is 25%, and we came in this month at 24.2%. We immediately know if we're falling short or if we're ahead of the game. And just that calculation, I wouldn't take it for granted that everybody knows what it is. So part of that education process is just kind of going through the math on this. Gross profit dollars divided by sales dollars equals our gross profit percentage. And then we can relate that back to what our goals look like. So we want to understand those components, the price, that's our sales, the cost, again, that's our FOB, freight, taxes, our gross profit, that's sales minus cost of goods, and our gross profit percentage, gross profit dollars divided by sales dollars. So we want to use this information to make better, more profitable decisions. So once we know what our gross profit goal is, then we can make those decisions to try to hit that goal and exceed it. Some practical uses of gross profit. The gross profit is really the money that we have available to cover our operating expenses. So if we look at it this way, I've said, sales is really for the supplier, gross profit is for the wholesaler. Because our sales, 75% of every sales dollar is going directly back to the supplier to pay for the product that we've purchased. So what's left over, that gross profit, whatever your gross profit percentage is coming in at, say 25%, 30%, that's what we have available to cover operating expenses. So we want to be really mindful of what do we make on a case, what do we make on a keg, how does this compare to the cost to deliver those items. And often what we'll see is if we have hot shots or special deliveries, we want to know What is the amount of that order? What's the gross profit on that order? And what is it actually costing us to deliver? So you can establish some quick key metrics of an average cost to deliver, and that can help inform this decision-making as to whether those hot shots or special deliveries could go. And even if you're still going to send them because you want to make sure that you know the customer has the product, this will at least identify the point at which we have unprofitable stops, and we can either make different decisions in the future, put different policies in place, or just be more aware of and knowledgeable about the costs of our business. Other things for practical uses of gross profit are using it as a basis for delivery minimum. So you can run certain reports if you have a delivery minimum and determine if folks are actually adhering to that rule. So if you have a minimum delivery, let's just say of $200 to an account, you should be able to quickly run in a report from your route accounting system that shows you all the deliveries that went out under that delivery minimal amount. And then you can ask some questions, you know, why are these going out? And really just see, are we adhering to the rule? Again, with the purpose of, you know, we want to have practical use of gross profit so we can improve those financial results, improve that gross profit percentage, those gross profit dollars. Some common errors that I see in gross profit, really three things, and these can cause fluctuations in your monthly gross profit percentage. It really leads to questions about accuracy. Nobody wants to look at the report and say, you know, why this doesn't seem to make sense. You know, when we're, you know, last month we're at 28%, this month we're at 21%. You know, why are we seeing these changes like that? So three major categories, things you can look at. Number one is inventory that gets received, but the purchase expense isn't recorded. So if product is physically arriving, it's recorded, inventory goes up. But the invoice, the corresponding expense is not yet input. It can happen at month end. So you can just test a few of these. If you've got some strange fluctuations in your gross profit, you can look at essentially your cutoff in inventory. Are we receiving inventory, but we've not recorded the purchase expense in the same period? It's one thing to check on. Second is if the inventory value doesn't match the actual cost. So costs can change. We talked about standard costs. So as an example, if we have a cost on a major package, and let's just say it's $15 a case, and we took a price increase to $16 a case, but we didn't adjust the cost, the standard cost is going to be wrong. It's therefore going to show our inventory to be incorrect. It's going to impact gross profit. So really, the takeaway here is to be auditing our costs, particularly on our major top-selling packages, just to make sure we've got the proper costs set up in those product masters. A third item can be empty barrels, empty pallets that get returned, deducted from inventory, but the credit from the supplier is not recorded. And these are, you know, barrels that we've got obviously a deposit on, pallets we've got a deposit on that we've put into inventory at a value. So if we reduce them from inventory and reduce that inventory dollar amount, but we haven't recorded the corresponding credit from the supplier, we're going to get that credit back. The inventory is reduced. Those kegs and pallets have been removed, but the corresponding credit is not recorded. So that's going to create some fluctuation in gross profit. So those are three things to check out. You know, an easy way to see your gross profit fluctuations or consistency is to run a monthly gross profit report. You know, really monthly financial statement look is really nice to see those trend lines again. You know, so I'm recording this in August. You know, I want to see, show me January through July by month what my gross profit percentage is. And if I'm seeing consistency, you know, our budget said we should be around 25% gross profit, and I'm seeing, you know, 25.6, 25.2, 26, you know, I'm okay with that. But if I'm seeing 25% one month and, you know, 18% the next and then 34%, I'm like, why is that happening? So check perhaps one of those three common errors that could be affecting your gross profit. Next, we want to look at reconciling your gross profit reports to the income statement. So generally speaking, you're going to run some, or have the ability to run some really sweet, detailed sales and gross profit reports from your route accounting system. We want to make sure those actually match your income statement. If you've got an ERP system where they're all together, generally they're going to match up just fine. Otherwise, if you're running a route accounting system and then you're exporting data into a general ledger financial accounting system, let's just say you're using, say, a VIP for your route accounting system, and you're using something like Sage Mass 200 for your accounting, we've got to send the information from the route accounting system, the data, over to the accounting software, and sometimes things don't match up. So we want to have process to reconcile really all our numbers, but in this case, we're talking about gross profit. So we want to run that gross profit report from a route accounting system and then compare it to what's actually going on the income statement. So for example, if we run our route accounting system gross profit, we see the report shows us, for example, $500,000 of gross profit. But we run our income statement for the same period and the gross profit's different. Say it's $475,000. You know, we want to know what's causing that difference. I mean, these should be basically the same. So we can look at those three common errors, you know, those cost changes, barrel credits, timing of inventory receipt, those could be creating some variances. We want to look at maybe any inventory write-offs. Were there count variances? Is there breakage out of code? Are there one-time higher freight charges that might be coming through? So we really want to dig in, check on it monthly, understand the variance, do that reconciliation, because what I've seen is we'll rely on those route accounting system sales and gross profit reports. But if there's something going wrong, some disconnect between our financial reporting and our route accounting system reporting, we've got to figure that out so we make sure we have good, accurate gross profit information. A good way to check the accuracy of gross profit is really to have a gross profit team and include different people in this process. At a minimum, I would say someone from sales, inventory, and finance. You know, sales obviously are very dialed into, you know, price. Inventory is very dialed into cost. Finance hopefully can help pull all the numbers together. So for starters, we want to just know, is the pricing correct? You know, our sales or pricing coordinator getting involved in this. Obvious errors might be prices or price increases that didn't get input into the system. And we should be able to see this quickly if we're running that gross profit analysis report. So we can see if there's suppliers, brands, or SKUs where the gross profit percentage is just clearly wrong. You know, if we have an expectation of, say, 25 or 30% gross profit and we see negative gross profit, or we see 100% gross profit, you know, those jump out at you pretty quick. So have a team and have them review, at least on a top level, on a regular basis, to catch any potential gross profit errors. So pricing is one. Cost is obviously another. You know, the inventory person involved there, looking at those cost components, making sure they're complete and accurate, doing some testing. Depletion allowances, supplier billbacks, are those properly accounted for? I've certainly seen it where there's arrangements made with suppliers to bill something back, but the person who inputs the deal in the system didn't know about it, and all of a sudden, you know, we're seeing a gross profit of 10% instead of 25% because we don't have those input properly. So those are just some examples. The takeaway is, you know, considering having a team of people, sales, inventory, finance, that are reviewing together the gross profit analysis and checking to make sure it's as accurate as possible. So that's a quick overview on gross profit, why it's important, how you can use it to make better decisions to improve financial results. So if you want more details on this, I am offering a free 60-day trial to beerbusinessfinance.com. You can jump over to beerbusinessfinance.com, sign up for the membership. You'll get 60 days free to get in there and drive around, check things out, test out all the online courses, guides, spreadsheets, models, tools, and you can learn a lot more about gross profit in the Beer Finance School. That's where we dig into a lot of the spreadsheets and a lot more training relative to this important number on your income statement. So if that's of interest to you, go to beerbusinessfinance.com, sign up for the annual membership, and you'll get 60 days free to try it out. Thank you for listening to the Beer Business Finance Podcast, where we combine beer with finance so that you can improve financial results in your beer distribution business. For more resources, tools, guides, and online courses, please visit beerbusinessfinance.com. And don't forget to sign up for the free weekly Beer Finance newsletter. Until next time, get out there and improve financial results in your beer business today.